Welcome in, everybody. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Monday edition of the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy to be back here, starting up another week as the Eagles also start up another week of voluntary OTA practice today at NovaCare Complex. Looks like Carson Wentz and DeSean Jackson still balling out together. The secondary still rocking. Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas on the outside and Avante Maddox in the slot. Looked like Sharif Miller looked good today. Josh Sweat. I'm so excited that we actually get to see, even though it's OTAs, like the play-by-play for OTA practices is just something I love to nerd out on. And I'm sure a lot of you guys do too if you're listening to the podcast, because throughout the year, even when there's absolutely nothing going on, we're recording 4 to 5 days a week right here on Locked In Eagles, and that's going to pick up now that next week we have mandatory minicamp. So hopefully Malcolm Jenkins comes back. Hopefully Jason Peters will be. Peters should be. You know, Alshon Jeffrey also should be back. Malcolm Jenkins is the one that we are worried about, so we'll keep an eye on that. Next week, once again, we got voluntary practice this week. Then that portion of the offseason ends. Next week, we get mandatory OTAs. And then, hey, before you know it, we got training camp, the preseason, and then the regular season. And we got you covered, as always, right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, if you missed any of our shows last week, you can always listen to them on any podcast platform that you're subscribed to the show. Just tell Siri, just tell Alexa to play Locked On Eagles. If it's on the Himalayan podcast app, Apple, Stitcher, whatever, we are up and available. Also on our website, LockedOnEagles.com, and as well on Twitter, at LockedOnBirds. Gina will be back tomorrow. So what we got on the dock this week. Today, we're locked on Vinnie Curry. And I think this is an interesting topic to get into, and it's kind of a good compliment to our show last week talking about if you should be concerned about the third and fourth defensive ends. And I think Vinnie Curry is someone that is a big factor in whether or not you are confident in what this defensive line can do based on, you know, of course, depth and when it comes to injuries. But not only that, just how confident are you that when Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett come off the field that a guy like Vinnie Curry can get it done? We've talked about Vinnie Curry in the past when they brought him back, talking about a potential reunion before that they brought him back. So we've gotten into Vinnie Curry here on the podcast, but I went in this weekend. And again, this kind of shows that my social life is lacking maybe a little bit, but I went into the 2017 tape because that was his highest graded season per Pro Football Focus in his career. And I wanted to compare it to last year, which was his worst graded season, and kind of get into what I think about him as the third defensive end. Should we be confident that he can get the job done once again? As he did, you know, when he was a starting defensive end in 2017. Wasn't someone that really had big sack numbers, but consistently, very much like Brandon Graham, very good against the run, high motor, high effort guy, and also a guy that got to the quarterback, QB hurries and pressures. He was up there in those numbers. So we're going to get into Vinnie Curry today on the podcast as part of our Locked On series that we've done, you know, a couple times throughout the year. We had Locked On Rasul Douglas last year, Locked On Nelson Aguilar. So these are our player profile podcasts. So we got that today. Tomorrow, I'm so excited, we have the Cornerback Wars podcast, CB Wars with me and Gino. That's something I've been hinting at for a while. I did a poll thread a couple months ago, kind of getting into, all right, best ball hawk of all these corners, most upside, best tackler, and I just put up a massive thread of polls, and you guys all voted on them, and if you didn't, you can still find it on my Twitter feed, at DiBiase, L-O-E, and I just want to get into the cornerback position because I feel like it's the one question mark right now on this team outside of maybe the defensive end depth, which is what we're going to get into once again today, specifically talking about how confident maybe you guys are in him, how confident I am in him after watching the film. So, but we got CB Wars tomorrow. We got some interesting guests. I'm not going to say what right now, but I'm going to tease that later on in the week. We have some interesting stories right here on the podcast. So make sure you subscribe to the show so our shows automatically download right into your phone. And then when you're on your way to work, when you're on your way home, on your way to the kids' baseball game, wherever, make sure you are subscribed to Locked On Eagles. And guys, we are sponsored today by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip on Instagram. Buy your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded. We'll be right back and we'll get into Vinnie Curry right here on Locked On Vinnie Curry, part of the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Louis DiBiase joining you, as always, in studio. We are sponsored today by Grip 6, ultra-lightweight, no holes, no flaps, and it's a great Father's Day gift. All you got to do is go to grip6.com. We got a special offer for our Locked On listeners, grip6.com/lock, L-O-C-K-E, and get your dad some awesome Grip 6. We thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. So, Vinnie Curry is someone that, you know, bringing him back, I think a lot of people like him as a player when it comes to their fandom. He's someone that grew up loving the Philadelphia Eagles. You could see the emotion on his face when the confetti fell down in Minnesota 2 years ago. Winning that Super Bowl meant more to him maybe than anybody because he did. It's also why I gravitate towards Sharif Miller, too, and players that take so much pride. I mean, because Miller also was a guy that grew up being an Eagles fan. I gravitate towards those guys that have so much pride in being a Philadelphia Eagle because I think that's such a huge factor in the chemistry of a team, the camaraderie, and also the success. I mean, you look at, I've mentioned it a couple times in the show, you look at in 2011 and 2015, you're bringing all these guys that just do not care really about the city all that much. They don't have any emotional ties to it. It wasn't the team that drafted them and gave them the chance. I mean, that's why some of these guys are forever indebted to this team for giving them that opportunity. And while that doesn't, you don't keep a guy just because they love being a Philadelphia Eagle, if they are talented and they care that much more, they're going to make it work in the city a whole lot more than a guy like DeMarco Murray, who's going to go to Jeffrey Lurie on the plane home from New England after an incredibly impressive upset win and still complain about stuff, you know? So that's why I think people really do like Vinnie Curry, the player of the past in Philadelphia, with him being a part of that championship team. Also, just the kind of person he is. He was a rah-rah guy, good leader, still is. I think that's a great aspect of this team, especially with the young guys, Sharif Miller and Josh Sweat, Joe Osman. I think Vinnie Curry back there, once again, you always saw him running those huddles before the games. That leadership, I think, is going to be a big plus in the development of Sharif Miller and Josh Sweat. But how about just him as a player right now in 2019? Because in 2017, I watched the tape, and I was pretty impressed. He was making a lot of splash plays. The first time he finally got an opportunity to be the starting defensive end, right? They were kind of, he was always a rotational piece. He was behind Connor Barwin and Brandon Graham for a while. He still had that massive 2014 season where he led the team in sacks, and he was unreal in spurts. And that's kind of the role he's going back to, though, because 2017, really good as a starting defensive end. Then he goes to Tampa Bay last year because, you know, the Eagles gave him that contract extension a couple years ago. They had to get out of that just because Vinnie Curry is a good player, but they paid him to be, I would say, I mean, like a really, really good starting defensive end. And while I went back to the tape and was pretty impressed, he is also, I'm going to be realistic, he's not someone that you want to build your defensive line around. He's not someone that's going to, every single play, you know, you can count on him to make the kind of plays that, you know, even Brandon Graham doesn't finish a lot much like Vinnie Curry. At the same time, I think we all trust Brandon Graham a whole lot more. I mean, Brandon Graham is, to me, an elite pass rusher when it comes to getting pressure on the quarterback. Vinnie Curry, efficient in that area. I think he's a well-rounded defensive end, and I think the tape showed it. But at the same time, they were right to get out of that contract, especially when they placed a first-round pick on Derek Barnett, and they knew they could trade a fifth-round pick in Marcus Johnson for Michael Bennett. But nonetheless, he comes back right now, and look, he's got the responsibility of being that third defensive end in Jim Schwartz's defense, which likes to rotate guys around. So he is going to play a good amount. And now really the question is, do you believe in him as that third defensive end? Are you confident enough that he can come in and maybe not replicate what Michael Bennett certainly did last year, but maybe replicate what Chris Long did last year? And for me, I'm pretty confident in it. And once again, I'm not overly concerned because these guys are not starting up front. Them investing in Malik Jackson and bringing back Tim Jernigan is also going to change this up because while Vinnie Curry is going to play a lot more now in the third defensive end role, without Michael Bennett and Chris Long, that's also going to be kind of negated, kind of affected by, hey, on third downs, we're probably not going to push Brandon Graham inside all that often because we really like what Malik Jackson can do getting to the quarterback. And hey, I think Tim Jernigan coming back from that injury last year, in shape, motivated this year, had a half a sack in both playoff games, he's also going to be a factor. Now that you have those interior guys that you're not going to want to rotate out a whole lot, that's going to kind of keep him off the field. If Derek Barnett has the breakout year I thought he was going to have last year and he was on pace to have. But regardless, when he does play, I mean, I watched all 16 games of film for Vinny Curry. And even we go as early back to week one against Washington. Left tackle Trent Williams, one of the best in the game for a long time, totally just moved him off his spot with his power move, takes down Rob Kelly. Just like Derek Barnett, just like Brandon Graham, I think Vinny Curry is very strong against the run. He didn't get a sack in that game, but like on a 3rd-and-9 situation I wrote down here, he beats Williams again, takes down Kirk Cousins, and that forces a short pass and a 4th down. At Kansas City the next week, drills Kareem Hunt for a 1-yard loss, like a pure arm power move, getting Eric Fisher off his spot. Then the next play, a bull rush up the middle to get Kareem Hunt down for only 1 yard. I mean, there was play after play after play that I'm like, wow, he really had a better 2017 season than I can remember. Even how about that week 3 game against the Giants, that goal line stand, that 4th and goal. I know we all saw Joe Walker and Malcolm Jenkins at the top of that play, but who was the guy crashing the middle of that power formation up the middle? It was Vinny Curry. He's the first guy that gets there. So overall, I really liked what I saw. Week 4, a swim move up the middle for a sack, another stop for no gain. He had a sack the next week against San Francisco, which was just vicious, just totally destroyed the left tackle with a power move. Even he's a guy that year that, while I noticed a lot last year, Josh Sweat, when his first move wouldn't work, he would get absorbed by the tackle. You know, they say it all the time. Don't let an offensive lineman get a hold of you because then it's game over. That was the case a lot for Josh Sweat last year. Let me tell you, there were a lot of points in 2017 where Vinny Curry, it seemed like he got beat on the play because his first move didn't work, and suddenly he shakes off. He found a way on those 2nd and 3rd opportunities to either get the running back down or get pressure to the quarterback on elongated plays and help the defense make a play. I'm confident in him. I think he has a lot of moves in his repertoire that we don't really give him credit for. Super high motor. He is a high-class guy that loves being a member of the Eagles, and they're not going to really use defensive ends. They're not going to use 3-4 defensive ends as much as they have in the past. When we come back, I want to kind of get into his playoff performance in 2017 and then compare all of this to his season last year, because the first, much like Tim Jernigan, in 2017, the first half of the season, Vinny Curry's film, really impressive. And if he can get back to 100% health-wise, which he is right now, I think he could pick back off where he left in 2017. This is Locked on Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are locked on Vinny Curry today. And after watching the film of 2017 and 2018, I wanted to see what happened last year in Tampa. That 1 year in Tampa Bay, he called it a long off season. After watching it, I'm pretty confident. As for you guys, I put up a poll on Twitter. Are you confident in Vinny Curry as the 3rd defensive end for the Eagles? Once again, you can go vote on that at DiBiaseLOE. 71% of you said yes. 29% of you said no. I feel like the bigger concern for fans out there is that they lost both Chris Long and Michael Bennett, and they've been so used to running 4 defensive ends deep and very good defensive ends that now that they don't maybe have as deep of a core on the edge, people are a little concerned. But once again, you can't ignore the Malik Jackson factor, and also you can't ignore that Vinny Curry is back. I think he's not going to replicate what Michael Bennett did last year. I think Michael Bennett was one of the best defensive ends in all of, really defensive linemen in all of football last year, because not only was he getting pressure on the edge throughout the season for the Eagles, up the middle too. They weren't, last year they didn't have Malik Jackson, they didn't even have Tim Jernigan healthy, so on pass rushing situations, and actually even not even on pass rushing situations, they were using Michael Bennett as an interior defensive lineman. They don't have that now. Vinny Curry is not going to give you that same production. But I do think, hey, I mean, Chris Long was really good, 6.5 sacks last year. But I think Vinny Curry, maybe he's not going to get 6.5 sacks for you. I think he can replicate what Chris Long did when it comes to quarterback pressures, consistently getting to the quarterback in a more limited role now than, once again, Chris Long even had last year. In the playoffs, in 2017, he down the stretch in these big games really came up clutch. Even before that, let's go to that week 16 game against Oakland, got pressure on Derek Carr in some key situation. He was the big force in that Ronald Darby interception, getting in front of Derek Carr, who was backpedaling and had to throw that ball up, and Darby jumps that route. He also forced a fumble on Marshawn Lynch. I mean, that game was what secured the Eagles a bye week throughout the playoffs. L.A., of course, against the Rams was the tipping point as well. But that was the game that actually clinched it, and Vinnie Curry made some big plays in that game. In the playoffs, he had a hit on Matt Ryan that should have forced an interception, but Jalen Mills just absolutely cannot catch the ball. And then his PFF scoring chart in the NFC Championship game, on 27 pass rush snaps, he had 8 pressures and a defensive stop, which is really good for, once again, only 27 pressures or 27 snaps. You got 8 total pressures. And then in the Super Bowl, 14 pass rush snaps, and he got 3 hurries as well on Tom Brady in New England. So again, he's not someone that's going to come in and get you 13 sacks this year. But I looked at the Tampa Bay tape. First 3 weeks of the season, he had a sack and a half, 2.5 total, but he definitely looked limited throughout the year. And it was really because of the injury, if you ask me. I look at the 2017 tape and then instantly went to 2018. There's no way he could have had as massive of a drop-off as he did. In 2017, he was the 27th highest-graded defensive end, according to Pro Football Focus. So you go from a career high in one season to the lowest of your career the year right after. I mean, the injury had a whole lot to do with it. Once again, Vinnie Curry is not an elite pass rusher by any means. He's going to be a rotational piece. But people are concerned about the rotational piece. So I feel like, based on what Vinnie Curry has done throughout his career, that he is perfect for replacing Chris Long. Total pressures, by the way, from defensive ends on the right side in 2017, only 4 guys had more pressures than Vinnie Curry on the right side. Yannick Ngakoue had 56, one of the best pass rushers in the league in Jacksonville. Mario Addison in Carolina with 56 as well. Everson Griffin in Minnesota, great pass rusher with 55. Adrian Claiborne, a good defensive lineman as well, in Atlanta with 54. And then Vinnie Curry came in at 5 with 45 pressures. So 2017 was, the sack numbers looked the best in 2014. 2017, according to PFF, was his best year. That was only 2 seasons ago. Now he is healthy. Hopefully he's back in a scheme that allows him to just go after the quarterback. He is happy now, right? I mean, you have to imagine he didn't want to leave Philadelphia, but at the same time, you're not going to take a massive contract extension to stay when they did draft your replacement, essentially, in Derek Barnett. And again, he's a great leader, a rah-rah guy. I think he's going to be a big help to Sharif Miller. Is going to gravitate towards him for sure. I mean, those two are just going to be fanboying all over this team because they love being Philadelphia Eagles. And I think he's going to help Josh Sweat as well. I'm confident. I think he's going to play more because Chris Long and Michael Bennett aren't there, and Schwartz does like to rotate, and you're going to have to play him a good portion of the snaps on defensive end. But when you bring in Malik Jackson and you're going to use him in pass rushing situations, it's going to kind of negate losing Chris Long and Michael Bennett here, that Vinnie Curry's not going to be someone that has to play a significant portion of the snaps. And even if he did in 2017, 2 years ago, and they won the Super Bowl with him as a starting defensive end. So it's not the end of the world that he's the third pass rusher. Clearly you guys agree, because on Twitter right now, 71% of you say you are confident in him as the third defensive end. I guess maybe the concern really more so is towards Sharif Miller and Josh Sweat, but DE4 this year, not going to play a whole lot. And even if you do want to move your defensive ends inside, Brandon Graham can do that and put Vinnie Curry on the edge with Derek Barnett. Vinnie Curry can do it. He can go inside. I think Fletcher Cox can get to the quarterback anywhere. You could end up even putting him on the edge. If in certain situations, if the right tackle is a liability and you want to move Fletcher Cox outside and push a Vinnie Curry in, I mean, I'm confident that he can do what they're going to ask him to do, because, again, it's not something that is going to really make or break the team. And 2017, career high year. Last year, yeah, it was a down year. A lot of it, though, guys, had to do with that injury. Now that he's healthy, I think it could be a different story. Once again, career high year in 2017, 45 quarterback pressures. That was 5th most of all right defensive ends, starting right defensive ends in the NFL last year, only behind some really good names, including Yannick Ngakoue and Everson Griffin. So I'm confident in Vinnie Curry. Let me know what you think. Hit us up on our Twitter account, at Lockdown Birds, or my Twitter account, at DiBiase, L-O-E. If you're not subscribed to the show already, please subscribe to the show on any platform that you listen to us. And if you could, leave us a 5-star rate if you like the show, and hopefully a review. That's how we can grow the show and continue to churn out daily content for you right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, 4 to 5 days a week, as always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Louie DiBiase signing off, as always. Thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.